4Radio.com.
When you're ashamed by the appearance of your teeth, simple things like smiling can seem embarrassing. A rejuvenated look is what you need. At Modern American Dentistry, you can get the perfect smile with a makeover using supermodel veneers and crowns. Simply tune in to Get Your Smile On with Dr. Joel Gould, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. to learn more.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
4Radio.com.
Get your smile on with Dr. Joel Gould, your peek into oral health, cosmetic dentistry, and wellness solutions from Modern American Dentistry.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Get Your Smile On. I am Dr. Joel Gould, your wellness dentist. Happy holidays, everybody. We are in the beginning part of December, and I am broadcasting live from beautiful Manhattan Beach, California. As usual, today we're going to speak to a very interesting young lady by the name of Sarah Hornsby, and we're going to talk about something called myofunctional therapy. If you have no idea what myofunctional therapy is, you're not alone. This is a relatively new topic or new concept, and what it has to do is basically muscle training. Now, we're going to be bringing Sarah on in a few minutes here, but I just want to do a little recap. I know we've talked about a lot of different subjects, and we focused on vitamin D, and we focused on sleep apnea. It's been a little while since I've been doing all this work with the two different ideas of vitamin D and sleep apnea, and we're going to be bringing this all together at a certain point in time. But today I want to focus on what do we do with sleep apnea? What are the ways we treat it? So here at my office and at all of our three locations of Modern American Dentistry, we have a unique approach to treating sleep apnea. Now, I think it's unique because it's something that I think a lot of people are not doing. In most cases, once you've been diagnosed with sleep apnea, what happens is your doctor or the technician puts a CPAP mask on your face, they fit it, they calibrate it, and off you go. You go home and you wear your CPAP, hopefully every night, to prevent you from having issues with the dangers of sleep apnea. And we've discussed those in the past, all the health issues that come along with untreated and undiagnosed sleep apnea. Now, the primary treatment that we do here at Modern American Dentistry is something called a mandibular advancement device, and that is a dental appliance or a dental device that helps to hold the lower jaw open and forward so that we can get air while we're sleeping. Now, if we're just considering whether this treatment works or not, I can tell you for sure that it does because I feel like a whole different person since I've been wearing my mandibular advancement device. However, I don't want to wear it for the rest of my life, and I didn't have sleep apnea I don't know how many years ago, and I'm hoping that maybe in the future this can be cured. Now, part of my treatment program includes supplementation, and that's where the vitamin D and magnesium come in, and we have our podcast episodes on those two topics. And then the last piece of the puzzle of my treatment plan is something called myofunctional therapy, and what that is a retraining of the muscles that are involved in swallowing, speaking, and breathing. And tonight I have Sarah Hornsby, and we're going to bring her on right away. Sarah, are you out there?
Hi, Dr. Gould. I'm here. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you just great. You're calling from the Seattle area, right?
Yes. So I am a myofunctional therapist, and while I am based in Seattle, I actually work with most people over Skype these days. So, if you want, I can just explain what myofunctional therapy is and a little bit about what I do, and people can learn something new.
Okay, well, hold on. We're going to slow down because we want to. I always like my listeners to know a little bit about the person that who's speaking. So I just want a little history about you. Do you know? Let's talk about your career in dentistry because that's sort of where this all started. How did you become
sure.
interested in dentistry, and where did this start for you?
Well, I have my degree in dental hygiene. So I went to Eastern Washington University, which is a great school. I got a bachelor's degree in dental hygiene, and I graduated back in 2008. So all in all, I'm pretty new to the field of dentistry, but I knew right away when I got out of school that I wanted to do more. And I didn't know if that meant going back to dental school or what that meant for me. But I started doing some research, and I discovered this weird, interesting field that I hadn't learned about in school, and it was myofunctional therapy. So it really started for me then. I started looking into it more, and I was very confused at first. I thought, why did I not learn about this in school? This is such a big thing, and nobody mentioned it. And then the more doctors I started talking with, you know, orthodontists, pediatric dentists, even pediatricians in general, you know, physicians, didn't really know a lot about this field when I first was looking into it. It's grown a lot, and I think people are a lot more aware because of the connection it has to sleep apnea. But basically, from about 2009 onward, I've been delving into this field full speed, and I took a training program back in 2009, and I started my own private practice in myofunctional therapy in 2010, and I've been doing it ever since. I had at one point two offices in the Seattle area, and I was very busy and full. And then I've actually closed one office space to start working with more and more people online. So it's been, I can't even tell you how much of a whirlwind it's been, but people contact me from all over the world. So I have patients in probably 13 different countries. And they contact me because they can't find anyone in their area. So it's exciting for me. And let's see, last year.
Okay. Well, hold on. I'm going to slow you down here because I want to sort of start at the beginning. And you know, when you were doing hygiene, were the offices mm-hmm. you worked at, was sleep apnea the initial introduction that you got to this, or was it through a different way?
No, it was through a different way. Most people that become aware of the field of myofunctional therapy, I think it starts with orthodontics. So many orthodontists will notice a tongue thrust, and many dentists will notice a tongue thrust. And this is probably the key symptom, I would say, that gets recognized. And usually in children, usually people who are getting braces, at some point an orthodontist might notice that, oh, the tongue pushes forward when they swallow, and it goes between the teeth in a resting position, and it interferes with the braces that I'm trying to put on these patients.
Right. Okay. Well, so I want to just clarify this for everyone listening, and that is, so tongue thrust or tongue thrust swallowing is what some people do, and I guess it starts out obviously at a young age, and they thrust their tongue forward and to seal the airway and to seal their mouth as they swallow. And this becomes such a bad habit that the force of the tongue actually physically pushes the teeth to what we call an open bite, so that when you close your teeth together, they actually don't overlap at all. We don't have any overbite or overjet where the teeth should come together. They actually get something called an anterior open bite. And what that is anterior means in the front, and open bite means that you can basically have a little space. Sometimes it's big and sometimes it's small. Do you have any idea of how the tongue thrust swallow sort of originates? Is there a classic presentation of how this all starts, or is it variable?
Oh, yes. Yeah, definitely. So what we know is that people who have a tongue thrust have an array of other symptoms that go along with it. The tongue thrust gets recognized, but usually a tongue thrust comes from some type of airway issue. So that's the really interesting fact, and that is where me and you kind of connect on this topic, is the airway, because the airway is really my main focus. So that's our ability to breathe. And a tongue thrust usually develops when somebody is unable to breathe through their nose, whether that's very young in life because of allergies or enlarged tonsils or maybe chronic congestion. We don't always know what causes those congestion problems in young kids. But when they can't breathe through their nose, they have to breathe through their mouth in order to get oxygen. When they breathe through their mouth, their tongue drops low and goes into that tongue thrust position. So it's not just the movement of the tongue that interferes with the teeth. It's mostly actually the resting position. So the tongue rests low in the mouth and the mouth is open. And those are kind of the classic symptoms that go along with it. And the thing that we're discovering is that those children who have open mouths and tongue thrust from a young age are the adults who grow up to have sleep apnea. So that's the interesting thing.
Right. Well, you know, this is something that you and I talked about, and my focus, as I sort of discussed earlier, was what the vitamin D connection is. And what's interesting is the idea that if there's so many more children these days out there with allergies, and this is really on the rise. And in previous episodes, we've talked about how the increase in allergies is directly linked to vitamin D deficiency that's starting at an earlier and earlier age. We have the vitamin D deficient mom giving birth to a child that's really low in vitamin D. And then we have the development of all kinds of allergies. And again, that we've talked about that nasal breathing or breathing through your nose is the gold standard. All good, healthy swallowing and breathing habits start with a clear nose. But when we don't have that, I guess we've got to deal with the consequences. So while we're on this topic, I want to just sort of talk about what is the ideal position for the tongue. I think that people out there listening may be confused or may not have heard anything like this before. But why don't you go ahead and tell us, where's the at rest, when you're not talking, you're not chewing and not eating, where should the tongue be?
That's a really good question, and it's actually the first thing that I work on with people. So at rest, our lips should be together, and it shouldn't feel forced. It should feel very natural. Our teeth should not be clenching. You shouldn't actually touch your teeth at rest. So there should be about a millimeter to, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 millimeters maybe between all your teeth when you're resting. Now, for the tip of your tongue, that should be touching the hard palate. You might feel, we call it rugae, but you might feel some bumps or ridges on the roof of your mouth behind your upper front teeth. That's where the tip of your tongue should go. Now, the trickier part, if you have a tongue thrust, is the back of your tongue should actually go up and rest against and fill up your entire palate. And this should be natural. It shouldn't be forced. To summarize that, your tongue should be high and filling up the roof of your mouth. Is that a good description for you?
That's a great description. And just so that you know, and we talked about this, this is a new topic for me. And that, you know, when I started to learn about this, I've actually been practicing putting my tongue into the right position.
Good.
I'm pretty sure that I haven't had it in the right position for a long time. I am one of those kids who didn't breathe through my nose and have all those issues. So, okay, very cool. So how long does it take for somebody to gain the confidence, or how long does it take for kids to actually follow through with this? Is it something that takes, is it easy or is it hard?
It's pretty hard, and that's why I have a job. If it was easy, you know, we would all just do it. I have people say, well, I don't understand why I can't just close my mouth. Why can't I just put my tongue on the roof of my mouth? And it's because the muscles have developed, especially for adults. These issues aren't unique to children. You know, if you are a child who grows up with an open mouth, you're going to be an adult with all of these issues. And it becomes harder to change the muscle patterns the older you get. That doesn't mean it's impossible. And there are advantages for adults because we tend to have a greater awareness of our mouth. And as long as I can teach somebody to pay attention to those things during the day, so people have to start monitoring, is my mouth closed? Is my tongue in the correct position? And as long as you can start building that awareness, the changes can happen pretty quickly. I would say minimum, it takes probably 8 weeks to get a really good basis. But I work with a lot of people for a year. A year of therapy is pretty standard.
How frequently do you see those people? How many times? Is it a week or a month? Or do you give them homework?
They start off. Yeah, they get homework. So I teach exercises a lot like a physical therapist would if you were, you know, working on rehabilitating a knee injury or something like that. So I teach maybe 3 to 4 exercises a week. And each person gets to go home and practice the exercises on their own. I recommend doing it twice a day. It takes about 5 minutes each time. And then we meet back again in a week, and I give them new exercises and go over the old ones again. So for the first 8 weeks or so, it's usually once a week, and then it becomes less and less from there on out.
Okay, and do you keep them having repeating, like cycling through the same exercises, or you just do different ones?
They get new ones usually each week, but, you know, sometimes we're not perfect with practicing, and I totally understand that. Sometimes I have them repeat things just to get down a little bit better. Sometimes I'll have them, you know, if they're in their sixth week of therapy with me, I might go back to something they did in week two just to see how much they've improved. And, right. you know, if they've gotten better at those techniques and things, and I usually see really big improvement.
Okay, that's great. Now, so when someone has finished your program, do they have to do some maintenance schedule of exercises, or are they pretty much retrained and they can just move on with their life?
Well, that's funny because they're pretty much retrained as far as I'm concerned with the mild functional issues. So that includes nasal breathing. By the time people are finished working with me, they should be able to easily and naturally and comfortably breathe through their nose, rest their tongue in their palate, swallow correctly during eating, drinking, and swallowing saliva, and they should rest with their lips together.
Okay.
Sleep apnea is a slightly different topic because if I am working with an adult who has sleep apnea, there are some maintenance exercises that need to be done, and those,
Okay, hold on.
About those?
I got to slow you down. You're too fast here. We're actually going to take a few seconds here for a commercial break, and we'll be right back. So everybody, hang in, and we'll be right back.
ForRadio.com.
Are you thinking of selling your home? Hi, I'm Deborah Osborne with Coldwell Banker Beachside. Before you do anything else, call 1-800-710-0260, extension 15, where you will hear a detailed recording on how I can sell your home faster and for more money than any other agent. Again, that toll-free number is 1-800-710-0260, extension 15. Call now, and let's get you packing.
Get your smile on with Dr. Joel Gould, your peek into oral health, cosmetic dentistry, and wellness solutions from modern American dentistry.
ForRadio.com.
All right, we are back. I am here with Sarah Hornsby. Now, before we move on into the sleep apnea area, I want to sort of talk just about more about kids. And I'd like to know what other issues do you deal with children? So we know definitely tongue thrust, swallowing. What other conditions are most common or that you see with children?
Well, the tongue thrust swallowing is something that most parents wouldn't recognize. That usually only gets recognized at the dentist, and honestly, most times it probably gets missed there. But the most common thing that parents can look for as a potential problem is the allergies, like you're talking about. So stuffy noses and enlarged tonsils and adenoids are both things that prevent us from being able to breathe through our nose, and that's probably the basis of most of these problems. Children who have thumb sucking and finger sucking habits can also develop a tongue thrust, mostly because the thumb is blocking where the tongue should rest naturally. Another big one is a tongue tie. So this is something that a lot of times I'm the first person to see or to point out. But you can have your children screened for a tongue tie. A lot of times they can do it at the dentist. They probably won't look as closely as I do. I'm really, really a big believer in looking at tongue ties. And should I explain what that is, Dr. Gould?
Yeah, why not? Let's let everybody know. Anyone who has a child or has a tongue tie will know, but nobody else will. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. So it's usually recognized during breastfeeding. So the first problem would be a difficulty latching on for an infant. And sometimes it gets missed because we just, you know, it's really hard. We can't figure out why. Maybe the lactation consultant doesn't look at it, or they're told it's not a big deal, so then they're bottle fed. And then the next opportunity it might get caught is during speech. So a lot of people with what we call a restricted lingual frenum, which basically it's like a short tongue, or the tissue underneath the tongue is too short. It's restricted and you can't get the proper movement. So some people end up having speech issues, and then it might get caught then. For a lot of people, they don't have speech issues, and it never gets noticed until they're an adult and maybe they have sleep apnea, jaw pain, or some other issue that's connected to not being able to get the full movement of the tongue. For me, it's a big deal because if my goal is to get my patients to elevate their tongue to rest naturally in the palate, in the roof of the mouth, a tongue tie really prohibits that. So
sure.
A tongue thrust and a tongue tie really both cause a lot of the same problems, just from different underlying issues, I guess.
Right. Okay. And if you say that quickly, that's also a tongue twister, I have a feeling. Okay.
I think so, yeah.
Okay. So, this is something I don't know. What's the earliest age they'll actually do surgery and to relieve a tongue tie? Will they do that? Is there any indication they'll do that during breastfeeding age, or that's just plain too young?
They will. Yeah. There's a lot of doctors I've heard. Dr. Kotlow, I believe. I can't remember where he's located. Somewhere on the East Coast. He does it like within the first 24 hours. He's a dentist.
Oh, wow.
And he works with a myofunctional therapist and a lactation consultant, and they're in there very early. So there are a lot of specialists. I know there's a guy in Portland, Dr. Bobby Gaheri. I refer patients to him from Seattle even. And
wow.
He will see infants and babies, toddlers, and adults. So it does take a lot of kind of looking into. I'm not sure why, but I think it seems like a scary thing for a lot of people to want to do surgery on. But it's actually very simple, and it's an incredibly helpful procedure.
Okay, well, that's great. So that's great information. So now we're just going to move on to sleep apnea, and I want to let my listeners know that you and I have been sort of working together on a myofunctional therapy program, and I've been just so busy, I haven't even gotten to the stuff that we're supposed to be doing. But let's just talk real briefly about there are in my treatment of sleep apnea. We want to retrain the muscles, and we're going to talk at a later date about retraining for breathing and the diaphragm. We've got a didgeridoo expert to come on regarding that. But so let's just talk briefly about what's your basic outline for myofunctional therapy for somebody who has sleep apnea.
Like the first step I would do, or
just maybe an overview, because I know that when people hear that there are tongue exercises, maybe you can just sort of give an example of what you would work on with your sleep apnea patients. Maybe just like a brief outline.
Sure. Yeah. So for me, there are specific sleep apnea exercises, but in the beginning, I actually take people through basically the same process that I would with any patient. If the sleep apnea root problems are myofunctional problems in nature, then I still want to make sure that the patient elevates their tongue to the roof of their mouth and they still breathe through their nose and all those things. So first I have to make sure they're doing all that stuff. And then, because not everyone who has sleep apnea has these myofunctional symptoms. So that's one difference for us, is I'm only really working with people who have all these other, like, tongue thrust and airway issues too. So first I make sure they can breathe through their nose, they learn where their tongue goes, then I teach them specific exercises, and those specific sleep apnea exercises are more focused on like the throat or the oral pharynx and the soft palate. One good exercise I can explain right now that people might be kind of curious to try is if you open your mouth really wide and you look at the back of your throat, and you can see the little, it's a uvula or uvula, it's the part that hangs down. If you can make yourself yawn and practice elevating that back part of your throat and hold it, count to five, hold that back part of your throat up and then relax, that's a really good sleep apnea exercise. I call that a yawn pull. So that's one example. And maybe, does that make sense to you, Dr. Joel? Could you try that?
Yeah. So here's the thing, is I'm sitting here, I'm trying to do that, but I had a root canal done today, and my mouth is gosh, dentists are horrible. No, Dr. Noel Gray, one of my associate dentists here, he did my root canal, and it was completely painless. I'm just pretty sore now. This does happen, root canals happen to dentists too, and I mean, I floss 3-4 times a day, so it's not a matter of not taking care of my teeth, just sometimes it's wear and tear. I think I probably eat too much, but I enjoy it. Okay, well, that sounds great. And so I know I've the tongue exercises that I had sort of been doing on part time. I always worry about doing them in the car. That's where I do them, pulling up next to somebody, and they see me sticking my tongue out repeatedly in different directions. So you do the same type of system where basically you're giving people the exercises. You're adding three or four at a time per week. Is that your usual routine?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's usually what I do. Yeah, I don't want to give people an overload. I know everyone's busy and we don't have that much time. I tell people if you can take 10 minutes out of your day to, you know, basically change your life, right? If you have sleep apnea and you're trying to change your quality of life, 10 minutes is totally worth it.
Right.
So, and you know that because you were talking about your own sleep apnea. So.
Right. Well, the whole point with myofunctional therapy and why I got so interested in this is that when it comes to sleep apnea, we rate people by the score of their sleep apnea. They have something called an AHI index or apnea hypopnea index, and that's basically how many times people stop breathing per hour. So the studies, you know, we both looked at the studies that show that someone's sleep apnea score, their AHI, can actually be reduced by as much as 50%. Just through myofunctional therapy alone. And the really cool part about that is for somebody who has really mild sleep apnea, this could be a huge help for them because technically they'd be really working towards getting off of having to wear their device. So these exercises, I think, are really critical and pretty easy too. This isn't like going to the gym and having to muscle your way in to, to get some weight. Okay, well, I'd like everybody listening to know how to contact you. Tell us, what is your website or how can people get a hold of you?
The best way to contact me, you can go to my website. It's www.myfaceology.com, and there is a contact form on there that you can email me through. You can also email me directly. My email address is sarah@myfaceology.com, and I offer free 30-minute consultations on Skype if you just have some questions or you want me to take a look at something. And let's see, I'm coming out with some different video series after the first of the year. I'll have a tongue tie one and a sleep apnea one, and I have some videos that I've put together that I'm really excited about. So that's coming in the future. And then I'm excited to keep collaborating with you, Dr. Gold, and see what we can come up with together.
Right. Well. You know, we're working on a special app, and there at this point in time, no one is doing this, and I always feel like I'm at the forefront of this type of stuff. So we're going to put together a really cool app that's interactive that makes the struggles and the exercise a little easier by having you interact with your phone because you're probably staring at it most of the day anyway. Might as well make something good happen from that. So, okay. Now
I'm really excited.
Okay, cool. So we're going to be having your information posted on our website as I do with all of my podcast guests. So if anyone didn't get the content information, just give us about a week or so, and that'll be posted up on the Modern American Dentistry's website. So, Sarah, the half an hour flew by, and I promised all of my friends and all my listeners that we would keep it to a half an hour because as exciting as dentistry and wellness dentistry is, I think a half an hour is pretty good. I really appreciate you coming on and letting everybody know about this. I was saying this is the Wild West when it comes to myofunctional therapy. You especially are kind of writing the rules on this, and I'm really excited for all the good stuff that you're going to bring to all the kids out there who can avoid my fate. So I'm very excited and doing this. Okay, thank you so much. So we'll be talking to you soon. All right?
All right, thanks so much.
You got it. Thank you. Okay, everybody, so that was Sarah Hornsby and myofunctional therapy, muscle retraining. Really cool, really important stuff. I would like to thank my incredible producer, Maria DiGiovanni. We'll be talking about some myofunctional therapy for you later on. And I want to say thank you to everybody for listening. And until you can follow us at www.modernamericandentistry.com, where you can find our podcasts. You can also find them on SoundCloud under my name, Dr. Joel Gould, and also on iTunes under my name. And thank you for following me, and we look forward to next week and our next topic. Until then, get your smile on.
Thanks for listening to Get Your Smile On with Dr. Joel Gould. Keep smiling and tune in next time to listen to Dr. Joel Gould reveal the secrets of cosmetic dentistry and wellness. When you're shamed by the appearance of your teeth, simple things like smiling can seem embarrassing. A rejuvenated look is what you need. At Modern American Dentistry, you can get the perfect smile with a makeover using supermodel veneers and crowns. Simply tune in to Get Your Smile On with Dr. Joel Gould, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. to learn more.
You were awesome.
ForRadio.com.
Very articulate. You did a great job.